Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. We're live on a Tuesday and glad to be with you. IU, of course, off until Friday. They'll be at Maryland, but still a lot of stuff to get to about this team as the season, the Big Ten Conference part of the schedule in full force. And I tell you what, the Big Ten is good. Lots of teams ranked once again in the top 25 poll that came out yesterday. We'll talk about that here in a couple minutes. But, you know, as a college basketball fan, and I assume that most of you are, even outside of just following the Hoosiers, this Big Ten Conference this year, when you look at some of the teams, where they're ranked, some of the natural rivalries that exist and how good those teams are against each other, it's going to be a fun year, even when Indiana's not playing. I think Big Ten Conference basketball is going to kind of be the focal point, at least for me, of a lot of great games to see this upcoming season. There are some good ones, starting with Michigan and Michigan State. Of course, Purdue and Ohio State is ranked. And just a lot of interesting storylines, I think, to come from this conference this season. And glad to see, as things get underway, the Big Ten finally start to get some more attention. It's been getting some teams ranked, maybe more than what people expected. But finally, I think, on a national college basketball level, beginning to get some of the more respect and attention it deserves. I know it's still early, but people are already talking about how many teams from each conference will make the NCAA tournament and what is the best conference in college basketball this year. And it's been interesting just over the last couple of days as I've flipped through some different things or read different things that are available. It's clear to me the Big Ten Conference is starting to get a little bit more respect and love for this season. Now, there's still a long way to go. They've got to uphold this reputation that's beginning to take hold. This is a really, really good basketball conference this year, but still beginning to get at least some respect is the Big Ten Conference. Let's take a look at the guest lineup for this Tuesday show presented by Honey Baked Ham. Segment one, Hoosier headlines, our news of the day for Southern Indiana sports and IU, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. We'll talk about IU's schedule a bit. Archie Miller had his weekly radio show last night as well that can be heard Mondays at 7:05 here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll recap some of the key points from that. Also, Romeo Langford, he's the Big Ten Player of the Week for the third time in this young season so far. Still a number of weeks exist, and some big performances down the road could see him maybe set some records or tie some records in being a player that receives that award the most time in a single college basketball season. We'll take a look at the most recent Associated Press poll as well, a number of Big Ten teams ranked or receiving votes, as I mentioned earlier. And add Andy Bottoms. We've had him on from time to time. Great guy with Inside the Hall, partners with Alex Bozich. He does his bracketology on Inside the Hall, and he put out his first bracket yesterday, actually I think earlier this morning, and Indiana is in that, and we'll tell you where he's got the Hoosiers at. It's still a little early to think about that kind of stuff, but Andy's done really well at projecting some of this stuff. Of course, it doesn't really get, you know, pretty close until you get later into the season and you've got more metrics and things to take a look at. A lot of guesswork right now at this early point, but we'll tell you at least where he has Indiana at. And we got a couple notes on IU women's basketball as well coming up here in the first segment in our headlines. Segment number two, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star will join us, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk IU basketball with Greg. It's been a couple weeks with Christmas and the new year falling on Tuesday. We did not have Greg with us the last couple of weeks, so we'll catch up with Greg. We'll get his thoughts on this IU team as they come out of a road loss at Purdue on Sunday afternoon, and about what's forthcoming for this team on Friday when they take on Maryland on the road. Then later in the program, Mike Pegram is with us of Pegs.com, and we'll really start to take a look at the game at Maryland. Maryland, a young team, a team that Archie Miller last night on his coach's show said he thinks will get better because of their youth as the conference season moves along. So Indiana going on the road to take on a young and dangerous team in the Big Ten Conference, and we'll talk with Mike some about that when he joins us later today. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Now it's time for our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. And headline one is the schedule for Indiana. We've talked a lot about the start of the Big Ten Conference and some of the non-conference challenges when we were in that part of the season. But one thing I think it's important to look at, and I just pulled up the schedule before we came on the air today, IU played at Duke. It was obviously a loss for Indiana. I think at the time Duke was still maybe ranked number one. They had just lost to Gonzaga out in Hawaii. I'm not sure that a new poll had come out. If it had, they were, what, 2-3, something like that. Indiana lost that game 90-69. Following that game, Indiana reeled off 7 consecutive wins, including a number of games where they had to really battle to get the win or battle from behind, especially early in the game, as we've talked about. They won Northwestern at Penn State, a big one at home against Louisville, a big one on a neutral floor against Butler, which was a last-second shot. They beat 2 mid-level opponents at home in Central Arkansas and Jacksonville, and then they reopened Big Ten play as part of that 7-game streak with a win at home over Illinois earlier this month. Now, of course, the loss came after 7 wins to Michigan, who at the time Indiana played and still is number 2 in the country. So Archie mentioned this last night, kind of what got me thinking about it. On the end, you could call it the bookends of the 7 wins, a loss on the road to a very good Duke team where IU was dismantled and really blown out of the gym in many ways. And on the other end of that, maybe a chance to evaluate this team a bit more against number 2 team in the country in Michigan on the road without a couple key players, 74-63 the final score, even though IU let Michigan jump out to a 19-point lead in the second half. So if you want to use those two upper level, upper echelon, Final Four projected teams in Duke and Michigan as gauges for this team. Of course, the Duke game was back on November 27th. The Michigan game just played a couple days ago. You would have to say that there is improvement with this team. And again, somebody might say that Duke, or might make the argument that Duke is even better than Michigan is. I would like to see that game personally. I would like Michigan's chances. But still, a interesting gauge perhaps, and some really tough opponents on the outside of those 7 wins for Indiana. So interesting to see the schedule they've played, interesting to see how they've improved since that Duke game. And of course, Michigan is a team that they will see again not too far down the road in about 2.5-3 weeks from now, when January 25th, Michigan comes to Assembly Hall. I mentioned the Archie Miller show last night. A couple things that he mentioned. Talked a little bit about Romeo Langford having the ball in his hands more, and how that as he becomes more comfortable with that, with Rob Phinisee out at least for now, who knows if he'll return on Friday or not, but that could be something you continue to see more of. He also listed Evan Fitzner and Demezi Anderson by name as candidates for more playing time. He also said that Clifton Moore looms as a backup center option should Deron Davis continue to miss for any extended time. And, of course, Deron Davis missed the Michigan game as well on Sunday on the road in Ann Arbor. So some interesting things that he had to say. He talked a little bit about Maryland being a young team, being a team that he thinks will get better as this Big Ten season goes on, and of course a tough place to play on the road for him as well. A lot of talk in the show last night about Juwan Morgan and the leadership that he's brought and all the positives that he's done for this team, that he is a Big Ten Player of the Year candidate, an all-conference first team candidate, maybe even a National Player of the Year candidate. But still, with all that said, he's and I'm paraphrasing here, but he's going to ask Juwan Morgan's leadership to stand up even more at the start of games to help with these issues Indiana's having where they fall behind early and then have to battle back even against an Illinois, not just the top-level teams like Michigan where they have to battle back early and find themselves down by a number of points very quickly out of the gate. So even though Juwan is doing a lot, he's being very efficient in what he's been able to do, obviously more on the agenda, it looks like, for Juwan Morgan as he's just had a terrific season so far for Indiana. Romeo Langford was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week honor yesterday. It's the third time this season that he has garnered that award. He averaged 22.5 points, 6 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and shot 54.2% from the field and 81% on the nose from the line, free throw line, in games against Illinois and Michigan. He was also honored with this award on November 19th and December 10th as well. Of course, that 28 points against Illinois was a career high for Romeo. That was a big part, I'm sure, of him landing the award. But 17 solid points on the road Sunday. 11 of those came in the second half when IU was clawing away and trying to make it a competitive game. He had 6 rebounds in that Michigan game as well. And probably even most importantly has been the great improvement of his free throw shooting. He was 6 of 6 from the line in Ann Arbor. Fifth in the Big Ten in scoring as well is Romeo Langford, 18.2 points per game in league play. He is averaging 20.5 points per game. So just 2 games in to the full part of the schedule, obviously the 2 early games as well, 4 Big Ten games in the books, and he has stepped up his scoring in those conference games by just over 2 points per game for Indiana. Associated Press poll out yesterday. Big Ten's been getting a lot of love for the last month or so, given how some of the teams performed in the non-conference season. Now that Big Ten season's here, when you've got that many teams ranked or receiving votes, you're going to kind of beat up on each other as far as the national rankings go. Michigan is number 2. That is where they remain in the most recent poll. Michigan State is 6. Ohio State comes in at number 16. And Indiana is still in there at number 22 in the top 25. A number of teams receiving votes: Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Purdue, Nebraska, and Maryland, in that order, all in the receiving votes categories for the most recent Associated Press poll. Also, I mentioned bracketology. This is just for fun, but Andy Bottoms at InsideTheHall.com, we'll really talk with him and track him as the conference season fades away here down the road in a month, month and a half or so. But his first projections out, and let's give you where he has Indiana first. He's got Indiana as a 5 seed, playing in Hartford, Connecticut, March 21st and 23rd, if they would win that game, is where he has the Hoosiers projected. So fun to look at, fun to think about. His 1 seed, you might ask: Duke, Tennessee, also Michigan and Virginia is who he has as 1 seeds at this point of things for the NCAA tournament. And again, it's a very early breakdown. Andy's done this now for a couple of years. He's pretty good at it. Of course, this early, you've got to guess on who you think the automatic bids, the conference winners will be. You're not far along enough with the standings and that sort of thing to have any read, anything close to for sure read, but that's where his first projection is. I think a lot of Indiana fans just glad to hear, and as projections start to come out on a more regular basis, just will be glad to hear Indiana's name in the mix, let alone a 5 seed, but just in the mix for a team that could make and will likely make the NCAA tournament, you would think, for the upcoming tournament in March. Also, just a couple shout-outs for the IU women's basketball team. I meant to say something yesterday after their big win over the weekend over ranked Michigan State. This IU women's team continues to play some really good basketball. It's amazing and just exciting for me to see the interest and the crowds that they are getting for their home games at Assembly Hall. Now, it's nothing like the crowd for the men's game. Don't misunderstand me, but I saw a picture from their most recent home game, and it's a terrific crowd that goes well up into the lower level And, of course, that WNIT run and that championship game that happened to be played in Bloomington last year, I think, spurred a lot of interest about this program and shows that Terry Morin and crew turning the corner, doing it with a lot of Indiana girls, a lot of local players from our area even, and they entered the top 25 ranking in Associated Press in women's college basketball this week at the number 25 spot, and they have four top 50 wins. So four of their wins against top 50 teams in the RPI, eight wins against top 100 teams, and a quick look at where they might be for the NCAA tournament on the women's side would have them somewhere between a 4 and 6 seed at this point. So good stuff by the women's team as well. They probably don't get the credit that they deserve. We don't talk about them near as much on the program as what I would like, but they definitely are having a banner season and look like they are well on their way to an NCAA tournament appearance and maybe taking that next step forward after a couple really good regular seasons and a great WNIT title a year ago. Now getting to the big dance, it looks like this program is headed that way. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturdays as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with the great Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk the game at Michigan. We'll talk Romeo Langford. And, of course, Tyler Trent passing away. Greg was always great to give us updates on him, and we want to talk about that as well. Greg, obviously, very upset, I know, by his passing, as many, many people have been. Just a complete outpouring of support for him on social media. And I do want to talk about that tough subject with Greg, and we'll do so when we come back. Stay with us for that. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back, and it's Tuesday, so Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. When you are looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe. They have great coffee, great bread, pastries as well. Now serving breakfast at lunch at 410 Bakery in downtown New Albany. Greg, it's been a while. The way the calendar has fallen, we missed you on Christmas. We missed you because of the new year, and we're back ready to talk IU basketball, little Romeo, and some other topics. Even the Colts with you today. Glad to have you back with us.
Thank you for not forgetting about me, Matt.
Absolutely. IU basketball on the road, a tough one as we thought at Michigan. And I tell you what, all this talk about how frustrating it is for fans to watch them get off to slow starts and have to battle their way back, and they've been successful in doing that until they ran into a powerhouse team like Michigan, especially on the road. That's exactly what happened. They fell behind 19 points, had some foul problems, and even though they made a somewhat competitive game of it down the stretch, that bad start haunted the Hoosiers once again.
Yeah, and not all starts are created equal, and this one was unique from some other ones in that Romeo and Juwan Morgan both had two fouls pretty early, and that's just a disaster. That's not necessarily not being ready to play. That's just some bad luck with the whistle. But it is frustrating for IU fans, and a slow start, the easy answer, and I'm not saying this is the right answer, I'm just saying the easy answer is, well, that's on coaching when you start slow consistently. And Archie's too good for that to be on coaching. So I don't know what that is, but I'm not saying that's on Archie. I don't know. I don't know what that is, but what I can't do is sit here and have an opinion of Archie for about 5 years and have it confirmed for the last year and a half at IU and decide, well, they're starting slow, so there's something wrong with Archie. I don't know what's going on, but it's up to Archie to figure it out.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. And I guess it's been such a while since our last conversation. Your thoughts on this team as the Big Ten season is now underway in full force, 7 straight wins. Duke was the last loss before Michigan, obviously. Where do you see this team at, and where do you see them going now that January is here?
Well, they're still so – they've had just no luck with injuries, and I realize a lot of people, a lot of teams get hurt. But Rob Phinisee was just starting to come into his own. I mean, he was becoming a force at both ends. He was shooting a little bit. Of course, he won that one game at the buzzer at Bankers Life, but he was scoring a little bit more, but he was creating so much. But defensively, he was setting the tone. I mean, just such a strong, hard defender. Sets the whole tone. And he's obviously been out for three or four games, and we don't know when he'll be back with a concussion. That's no good. So it's hard for me to sit here and really say too much about what I think about this team right now, because it's not the team we're going to see, I would like to think, in a few weeks. And this is not the NBA where, you know, one pro gets hurt and you put another pro up there. Devontae Green's now playing the point guard, and he's not consistent enough to really have that job at a high level for a high-level team. I mean, he's a really good player to have, but not in that role, which is why Archie's given the ball to Romeo, you know, the last several games, and just letting Romeo run downhill with it. As Archie likes to say, he's great at getting downhill to the basket, and he's been saying that since Romeo got here, and now just giving him the ball 40 feet from the rim, kind of like what the Pacers were doing last year in the playoffs against Cleveland with Oladipo. They just gave Oladipo the ball 40 feet from the rim and told Cleveland, stop him if you can. And Cleveland couldn't, and, you know, the Pacers almost beat the Cavaliers and LeBron because of Oladipo. Sort of what Archie has done at times with Romeo. You know, the best athlete on the floor, give him the ball and tell the other team to stop him if you can. I love it.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Since we spoke last as well, a new career high for Romeo. He had 28 points against Illinois earlier in the month. And for the third time, yesterday it was announced that he was the winner of the Big Ten Conference Freshman of the Week. I'd like to say something else other than I don't think you especially or me thought any of this would be a surprise, that he would score 28 points in a game. I think he'll surpass that mark at some point this season, if not multiple times, or that he's won the Conference Player of the Year award three times, or that in some of the big draft boards that have been coming out, he's consistently in the 5 to 8 range for the lottery in 2019. None of this is surprising. I think the only question that remains is what will his ceiling be? What will his outburst be? What crazy performance will he have at some point in this conference season for the Hoosiers?
Yeah, I remember telling you in the preseason that I wouldn't be surprised if he scores more as an NBA rookie than he's going to score this season.
Yeah.
And I think I might have been wrong about that, because I don't know that he's going to top. He's going to end the season close to 20 a game. That's where he's heading. I'm not sure he's going to score more than 20 as a rookie. He'll score more than 20 in the NBA someday. I don't know if his rookie is going to do that, but he might. One thing about Romeo's season that's been happening and why his scoring average is on the rise and will keep rising is that for whatever reason, he wasn't shooting it very well from three and from the line when the season began. Just wasn't. And it didn't really make a lot of sense. It just wasn't happening. But he's figured that out. He's shooting a lot better from three and from the line lately, and he's getting the free point. And he gets fouled more than anybody on this team. And I'm sure I think at one point he was getting fouled more than anybody in the Big Ten. So he's going to go to the line a whole lot. Free points, if you can cash them in. He's been cashing them in lately. But he's obviously getting comfortable from distance, and he's got a beautiful stroke. It's just a matter of time. So his scoring is absolutely on the rise. He and Juwan Morgan, they're a problem. They need Phinisee, though. They need Phinisee to help, you know, set things up, and also on the defensive end. They need that guy, and I hope he's coming back sooner than later, and I would think he is.
Greg, I've got to talk about Juwan Morgan with you as well. He's just had a tremendous season. He's been so efficient. That's the word that I think we've all attached to Juwan Morgan thus far with what he's been able to do for this team. Last night, listening to Archie Miller's show, which we have Monday nights with Don Fisher here on the Big X, he was talking about the slow starts that the team is having. Of course, he gave a lot of accolades first to Juwan, but he was talking in general about the slow starts the team is having and things he's working on to try to correct that. But the big piece of that, it seemed to be that Juwan Morgan, even though his leadership has been great, even though he's done so much for this team in so many different ways, he needs to be a big part of the better starts for this team through communication and getting the ball early even more. And so I was almost thinking, gosh, what more can Juwan do? He's been so great for this team so far. But what a season he's had. No surprise on that either. I'm curious, do you feel like that his good numbers and what he's been able to show so far will help his prospects for the NBA draft in June or an opportunity to play professionally?
Oh, yeah, he's a pro. He's a pro for sure. About what Archie was saying, I get what he's saying. Until the Crossroads Classic, Juwan was kind of sitting back and letting Romeo take over, and he was getting his when he could. But I mean, Juwan was averaging 13 points a game at one point this season. That's nuts. I mean, he's a 20 point a game scorer. He should be. He's that good. And then he went off in the Crossroads Classic, and has been playing at a much higher rate scoring wise since then. And I think that's what Archie's talking about, is that, you know, he can score. He can score almost at will. He's so good around the basket. His footwork is so good. But also he's now put that 3-pointer in his game. He can really shoot it. He needs to demand the ball more. He's such a nice kid that maybe he's just not demanding the ball enough. But he's absolutely a pro. You know, this the easy comparison, and he's not that good. I mean, good heavens, who would ever say that somebody in college is going to be as good as Draymond Green has been? You know, triple double machine and all that. So he's not that good, but he's that kind of guy. You know, he's long and tall and can shoot from distance and can pass and dribble and can defend. 6'8", 230. That's the kind of player he is, just not quite at that level, and that's okay. That's no insult. So he's a pro. I don't know how high in the draft he'll go, but somebody will take him in the first round.
Talking with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Greg is with us Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. Are you surprised by the Big Ten, how good it's been so far this season?
Yeah, just because I guess the narrative around here, I'm just kind of being conditioned to the Big Ten's not very good. Seems like that's all anybody wants to talk about. And maybe there's been certainly years in the past where I haven't been all that great. But yeah, it's a meat grinder. There's a coach at one of the teams that I just known over the years and was telling me the other day on the phone, saying this is a meat grinder. And this coach works for a team that, you know, is really high up in the standings. So this is a meat grinder of a league. There's no easy games. Not on the road, there's not any easy games. And teams that are in that 8 to 10, 7 to 10, 6 to 11 range, nothing easy about that even at home. I mean, the depth is so good that with a handful of exceptions, that you could lose any night in this league, and teams are going to lose a lot in this league, and they're going to get beaten up physically and also mentally, and it's going to take a toll, and we'll see what happens in March. You know, so this can work two ways. It can crush some teams. It's just too much to get through. But it can also harden somebody. I suspect there's going to be at least one team in this league, and maybe two, that kind of get hardened by all this pressure and make some serious noise in March.
Greg, I've got to bring up the national championship game last night. I hadn't previously talked about it yet today, as we stay pretty close to IU and things here in Southern Indiana. But obviously a lot of people surprised at the final score and the way that Clemson was not just able to win, but the style in which they won, the margin in which they won, I think is very surprising to a lot of people. Your thoughts on the national championship, and were you surprised by the way that Clemson was able to win the game?
Yeah, because Alabama's robotic, and they weren't robotic last night. Tua, and I know he's coming off that injury, but he was coming off that injury last week too, and he's dang near perfect. He had more touchdowns than incompletions last week in the semifinals. So for him to throw a pick six pretty much on his first pass of the game and throw another bad interception later, and in both cases, because this is what announcers do, they tried to give all this credit to the Clemson defensive back. Tua thought he was with one guy, and he's with another guy, and so he picked it off in pick six. I replayed that play over and over and over and watched it over and over. That wasn't anything but Tua threw it in the wrong spot. I don't care where that Clemson defensive back was. The ball wasn't going to the receiver. It wasn't going there. So Tua just missed him. And on the long interception they threw, he just overthrew the guy. There was nothing. Nobody got fooled. Tua just threw the ball 5 yards too long. When Tua is human, and he hasn't been human all year. So when your quarterback is human, it's a quarterback game. When your quarterback is human, you're in trouble, especially when the other team has Trevor Lawrence and he's not human. He wasn't human last night. I saw him in person. I was at the Notre Dame game at the Cotton Bowl. And, I mean, obviously I've been watching Trevor on TV and the highlights, and I know his stats and all that. But until you see somebody in person, you don't realize maybe. I mean, he's huge, and he's skinny too. He's like 6'6", maybe 205. He's going to get bigger. He's only 18 years old. That guy's a pro like I've never seen a pro coming out of high school and into college. I mean, he's a pro. There's no question Mel Kiper can do his mock draft right now for 2021. And the number one overall pick in the 2021 draft is Trevor Lawrence. Not a doubt in my mind.
Greg, I also want to keep it on football and talk about the Colts. A rough start, but things have gotten much better since then. They had their way basically with the Texans and now move on to what should be a tough game on the road at Kansas City. How about their success? A lot of people surprised at the run they've been able to put together, especially the way the season began.
Well, I was surprised when the run started happening. They're 1-5, and they win a couple games. I was mildly surprised at 3-5. I was very surprised at 5-5, 6-5, and right around 7-5, I stopped being surprised. Okay, I see what you guys are doing. I see what's happening here. This isn't a bunch of bad players overachieving. This is a bunch of good young players that we don't know much about because they're rookies or they you know they're Chris Ballard's really good at his job, and he picked him up from other teams in free agency, and even off Dontrell Inman, as they say, off the street, unemployed. He brings in Dontrell Inman, and that guy's really good. They are what they are, and what they are is very good. I expected them to beat Tennessee. I pretty much wrote that in the paper, that I expect them to win that game, and they did. And that's something that radio show had me on last week before the Houston game, and I said I expect them to beat Houston. I don't expect them to beat Kansas City. I don't expect that. However, at this point, wouldn't be surprised, wouldn't be stunned. I mean, at Kansas City, it's brutal. New Orleans and Seattle are the two toughest places to play in the NFL, but I think Kansas City might be third. So loud there. And Mahomes throws for 5,000 yards and 50 TDs, and it's just, I mean, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a shootout. As good as the Colts defense has been, I don't know they can keep that offense in check. I don't know who's going to run with Tyreek Hill. I don't know who's going to cover that guy. To say nothing about the tight end, Kelce, the Colts have not been great against tight ends. They're about to play the best one they've seen all year. So it's a tough matchup for them, but they can score too. I would expect this game is going to be, someone's going to be around 40 and someone's going to be around 30.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, my guest, Greg, is always with us on Tuesdays. Greg, over the break and over the holidays coming out of the new year, we obviously hadn't got the chance to talk with you about a story that's become, I feel like I know a lot more about it than what I do because of you and Tyler Trent, the great story from Purdue battling cancer. And, of course, since our last conversation, Tyler has passed away. His funeral is tonight. I think there is a memorial you mentioned on campus the following night as well. I know this is a tough subject for you, but I've had so many people that, you know, are IU fans and maybe don't follow all the Purdue stuff, even though it's been hard to not see Tyler's great story on not just Purdue stuff, but national media with the type of coverage that he's gotten and the awesome way that he's had handled everything. That obviously is, I know, again, a very tough thing to talk about, but I did want to bring it back up to you today and kind of get the latest or your thoughts, because I know it's been a very tough, week or so for you and many other people that knew him and even that didn't know him, like us, that just followed his story through you and others.
I've gotten so many emails from readers. He died a week ago tonight, and I wrote a tribute to Tyler that night, kind of a, you know, here's what I've seen from Tyler that I've never told anybody for the past year. I'm visiting him all the time, and here's who he is behind the scenes, and here's what it's like in his home. And I got so many emails from readers telling me their story and what Tyler's meant to them. And, I mean, these are strangers to me, strangers to Tyler. One guy told me that he and his wife, young couple, had a child. They were pregnant. They had a miscarriage, and they were, in a dark spot. And they read my story that night about Tyler, and they sat down and discussed it, and decided they can do this. They can fight. They see what Tyler did. They can do this. I got so many of these emails. I could go on and on about this. The impact that he had, and he's helped raise hundreds of thousands of dollars. We might be in the millions now, just in Tyler's name, towards pediatric cancer research, which was the cause he wanted to attack. That impact, he donated his cells from his tumor, and did that when he was alive, and the process was going to be painful, and he knew it, and he did it anyway. That impact and what that could do, and if you told me 5 years from now we're going to have a cure for cancer, and it's going to come from Tyler Trent's, the T-squared, as they call it, the T-squared line of cells, if you told me that's happening in 5 years, curing cancer, and Tyler Trent did it, after what I've seen, I'd say, yeah, sounds about right. His impact is really just immeasurable, because there's so many people out there that we're never going to hear from that have been moved by Tyler and just are going to keep it themselves in Nebraska, in Kansas, wherever they are. It's just, I've never seen anything like this. It was an honor to be so close to him.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, I hope you had a great Christmas, a great new year. We're glad to be back on a regular schedule and to know that you'll be with us on our Tuesday programs moving forward.
Yep, Happy New Year, Matt, to you and everybody listening.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, will head to a commercial break. We'll come back, and guess what? We'll talk more IU basketball. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will join me. We'll take a look at IU and their next opponent. They're on the road Friday at Maryland. We're going to talk some recruiting as well. We've been a little out of the recruiting updates. We'll do that with Mike in the next segment coming up also. Stay with us for that. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. Lots of IU basketball talk forthcoming. Going to get into some recruiting chatter with Mike as well. I mentioned this because someone asked me this morning, Mike, I'll ask you this, with the Romeo Langford Player of the Week, Freshman of the Week award, his third of the season. Still a lot of weeks to go. I know everybody hopes that Romeo continues to play well and be a big part of this IU team moving forward and some of their success potentially. But what is the record? Do you have any idea for someone, a freshman that has come in and won that award? Is Romeo near that with three, or has it been well beyond that, or do you even know?
You know, I don't know. I mean, Eric Gordon won it several times, but I honestly, I don't remember what the record is right now.
It's all right. Just curious. a lot of weeks to go, and having three on your side is definitely a good thing, no matter what the record is for the season. With that, Romeo has had the ball in his hands a little more. A lot of that has to do with Rob Pitesi being out for this team. Your thoughts on him having the ball more? Do you like it? And do you think that even when Rob does return from his injuries, could we see Romeo still dictate the ball a little bit more at the start of some of these possessions?
Yeah, Romeo's greatest strength is his ability to drive with the basketball. He's much more comfortable with the basketball in his hands. His biggest weakness, I would say, is working off the ball. He could do more in that regard, but with Robert out, you're not going to see him as off the ball as much. So he's, you know, you're playing more to his strengths as a player. So I think Indiana, yeah, is definitely designed some plays more for him, and he's getting more shots, and Juwan's getting more shots too. They've kind of, you know, for better or worse, kind of had the most of their shot attempts come through those two all Big Ten kind of players.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Let's look ahead to the Maryland game. It's IU's next Big Ten challenge. It's on the road. We heard Archie Miller last night talk some about his thoughts on Maryland being a young team, a team that will improve as conference play continues on. Your thoughts on the IU-Maryland game, some of the matchups, potentially things to watch when IU squares off with Maryland?
Yeah, Maryland's team is a nice team. I think this is an NCAA tournament team, and they'll definitely be the favorite. You know, they're right with Indiana in the computer rankings, and probably projected to end up with about the same kind of conference record. They have a really solid point guard in Anthony Cowan, junior now, has been through the wars, and Bruno Fernando is a big man that has really kind of emerged in his second season. You know, he's 6'10", 240. He's a big dude, and that'll be a tough matchup for Indiana. And they have one of the top three or four freshmen in the Big Ten, and Jalen Smith, another 6'10" guy. So when you have two guys 6'10" that can really play, and then Maryland always recruits well, so the other guys around him, you know, Aaron Wiggins, Eric Ayala, a guy I recruited was Ayala. They are a pretty good team. Like I said, I would be expected to be favored. You know, nothing. You know, a team that Indiana can definitely beat if they play well. But down there, it's always difficult. So this should be one of those games that kind of determine if Indiana is going to be a contender in the Big Ten, because you got to win against the teams that are mid pack or at lower NCAA tournament teams if you have the chance to keep up with Michigan and Michigan State this season.
Mike, everybody wants to know what's going on with injuries, which has been an all too familiar topic for this team moving into this full part of the conference schedule. Robert Pitesi, obviously someone that meant a great deal to this team, somewhat unexpected when his role really began to become very important and increase even. But he's been out with concussion-like symptoms or under concussion protocol. And then we saw Deron Davis go through warm-ups in the game at Michigan but not play. Is there any update on either of those guys?
Well, I think the fact that Robert traveled to the game was a good sign for his recovery. I don't think his concussion is nearly as serious as what Race Thompson had in November, because you know Race is still obviously not playing. But it took several games before Race even was at the arena before he was really going to practices. But Robert was back pretty quickly. But it's hard to say, you know, somebody will be back because they have future tests to pass with the people managing everything. And concussion is so much different than it was 5-10 years ago in the recovery time that they asked for given these tests. So, but I would think Robert will be back fairly soon. I think Duran was hopeful to play, but watching him in warm-ups in Michigan, you could tell he was limping. You know, he's just injury fragile right now. No other way to put it, with that Achilles in it kind of leads to other issues as he recovers. He's always been a little bit big. If you watch him run the court now, somebody like going to the YMCA and seeing some older guys play. He just doesn't move like he should be able to, you know, and at 6'10", that's a lot he has to carry. I think he'll be able to help play again, I would think, on Friday if things go well for him, given that he was kind of a game-time decision. And I think Jake Forrester has a good chance he might be available again because he did not have a boot on at Michigan. He's got an ankle injury too, so another week of recovery might be enough for him.
The game at Michigan began what is going to be a really, really challenging six-game stretch for this Hoosier team. And, of course, you previewed a bit the game at Maryland on Friday, which is far from a gimme or far from an easy game. It will be a tough one, I sure believe, for Indiana. What do you think this six-game stretch we might learn, might tell us about this team moving forward? When you go on the road in the Big Ten with how good it's been this year, with as many teams ranked or receiving votes as are in the Associated Press poll, I think this six-game stretch will tell us a lot about what to expect the month of February and maybe even the tournament in March.
Yeah, you got four or five on the road. And the better teams coming into Assembly Hall, Michigan on the 25th, again, is for that rematch, is a real quick turnaround. And Nebraska is very dangerous, in another week or so. There's no gimmies, and they have to go to Purdue, they have to go to Northwestern, a team that, you know, gave them all they could handle in Assembly Hall in early December. That we'll find out, I think, Friday night. Every game, every one of these games will be a clue whether this team is ready to be a contender, whether it can kind of get to 12, 13, 14 victories in the Big Ten. I think it's capable. Despite all these injuries, they've only lost three times and they had won seven in a row before this weekend. There's so many tests that coming up the rest of the month. It's just going to be a very interesting time because they kind of got the game that was easy at Illinois out of the way, and a game that you never would have expected them to win at Michigan. And now these next handful of games are those 50-50 type games that kind of define a season.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. Our guest Mike joins us Tuesdays to talk IU basketball. This has sort of made its rounds on the message forums and social media and the like, but Zach McRoberts, who is Mr. Hustle for this team and does a lot of great things, whether he scores or doesn't score for the team, but he has not scored a point since the Duke game. What do you make of that?
I think Zach is not physically normal. It's very similar to what we saw last year with Colin Hartman, just not moving as well as we remembered him from earlier in his career, or for Zach's case last season. He's also lost a little bit of basketball rhythm from missing all that time with the back issue that he's had. He's never been a real big scorer, but I would say this: Zach was shooting the ball better early in the season before his back injuries. I think he would have, if he had not had the injury, been able to hit one or two jumpers per game. But he does get points in other ways besides hitting a 15 to 18 foot jumper. He never has, but he hustles a lot, and you would think he would get a basket here and there if he was healthy. But he's just not moving very well. And he is getting beat defensively more than I think he used to be able to because of that as well. But he's such a smart player, takes care of the basketball on a team that has struggled with turnovers. He's still very valuable to this team. And if he does stay away from the back, coming back on him, he's going to help this team. But he doesn't look the same Zach McRoberts as we saw a year ago from a movement point and from a basketball rhythm point.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. I do want to get into some recruiting with you. We haven't, I guess since you were with us last, haven't really covered much recruiting on the on the program. Keon Brooks, I saw, spoke with Brian Snow. You guys have a story up at the Pigs.com site about that yesterday. And it sounds like that he's still a little bit away from making a decision, but getting closer, and IU right there in the mix. I know there haven't been any real updates with Keon or his decision-making process, it seems, because he's been busy on the road playing in some big-time high school basketball hoops over the holiday period. But he is a piece that is out there for this IU team that obviously I think solidifies a class and also continues to solidify the in-state dominance that Archie Miller and his staff have been on really since their arrival in Bloomington. Is this a decision that gets over with, Mike, in your opinion, in the next month or so, or is this something that could lead on even into the later period of the high school basketball season, which goes into, I guess, you know, really late March, early April?
I think it everything right now still points to the next month, maybe at the end of this month or soon after. Keon is talking that way. He's not got any more visits that we know about. Now that he's back under a little bit normal schedule, I mean, he's a kid who went to Hawaii, South Dakota, and West Virginia here in the last couple weeks. I think he'll, you know, focus in on it a little bit more. He's a guy who can really help Indiana because she's really a top-notch shooter for her size. I mean, shooting is the one thing that Indiana really could use more of both this year and moving forward. And Keon is, has such a nice touch on his jump shot. So that is one that will be huge news for Indiana if they do land him. And I think the sooner that he makes a decision, the better for Indiana, since, you know, we heard positive things about the chances and his camaraderie with Trace Jackson Davis having played together with him on USA teams and with the Indy Heat program. So, but if he does drag it on, that's, you know, that could be, add some drama. We know what that's like. We saw it last year. It doesn't mean it's bad news for IU if that happens, but I would guess in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
We obviously hear a lot more about the Romeos, the Trace Jackson Davises, the Keon Brookses because they're from Indiana. And, you know, at the games are multiple IU people covering, interviewing all the time when they play high school and AAU. But we don't hear as much, especially in the winter, about Trendon Watford playing down in Alabama for his high school team. He's always kept Indiana in the mix. They've made a couple cuts on his list that he's down to, and I think it's basically his finalist that he's down to, competing with a lot of schools, including Alabama and Memphis and schools there in the South. Is that a legitimate chance still? Do you know anything new on him? Is IU still – I know obviously they're on his list, but and they're on his list of finalists, but is IU really a legitimate chance to still have a chance for Trendon Watford in that class?
No, I don't think so, Matt. I don't think Ian's gone down to watch him. He's made no plans to come up to Bloomington, which is this is a hot board update, and I took him off the main profiles today. I don't see it happening, but I wouldn't say it's completely impossible, given his family history with coming, with the university and the positive feelings they have about it. But I think that he's going to probably end up at Alabama or Memphis. Programs that have strong ties to the family or much closer to home.
Mike, final recruiting question for you today. With the high school season almost at a midway point, or basically at a midway point, especially coming up this weekend, any in-state progress by guys in some of the younger classes that IU you think is taken note of and that make them a stronger prospect for the Hoosiers or really in general for high major college basketball down the road?
Well, they continue to really follow their local kid, Anthony Leal from Bloomington South, but I would say the guy who most fits your definition there, Matt, would be Jaden Ivey from Mishawaka Marion, who is probably the best prospect now in the entire state in that junior class. Had a really terrific season for Marion, a tremendous shooter. Has picked up a Notre Dame offer in that very much. They might be the team to watch out for, given how close they are to Mishawaka. But Jaden Ivey is a really nice player. He also came down to IU camp and he was at the Illinois game. So there's a definite interest in Indiana, the definite familiarity there. So he's a guy to watch.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Lots of information when he joins us on Tuesdays to talk IU basketball. Mike, we appreciate the chat. Missed you. Just as I told Greg, we missed you over Christmas and the New Year holiday, the way the calendar fell, but we're glad to have you back with us now that Big Ten basketball is moving along.
Yeah, like we talked about, it's going to be a great month the rest of the way here. Look forward to touching base with you next week.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. You can follow Mike at Pegs. That's P-E-E-G-S on Twitter as well. A great friend of the program. That wraps things up for this Tuesday edition of the show. Don't forget we do this each weekday at 11 a.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio. We can you can find us, I should say, on SoundCloud or also Apple Podcast. If you miss the live show, you miss the full show, miss a segment, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report, or you can download the free SoundCloud app. And likewise, on Apple Podcasts, just search the Hoosier Report. You'll find us on there. You can subscribe for free and keep up with all of our programs. High school basketball continues this weekend on the Big X as well. We've got some games coming up. Of course, IU is in action on Friday with a Friday evening game at Maryland, so another busy sports weekend as well here on the Big X Sports Radio. Stay with us for the rest of the week. Jeff Rabjohns is with me tomorrow in the 11 o'clock hour as well. We've got some other guests to join us tomorrow as well. And later in the week, Alex Bozich will be with us and Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We try to bring you a great IU guest, IU beat writer, someone very in tune with what's going on with the team and program every day here on the show in the 11 o'clock hour. That wraps it up for today. Have a great day. I'll be back with you tomorrow. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.